Good morning. Today's daf in Shavuos is Lamed Dalet. We're on Lamed Gimel base today. We are starting at the Mishnah. We're in Shavuos Perek Shavuos Ha'edus. We're talking about the liability in one who is asked and petitioned to give testimony in a court. And as we already learned in this Perek, you must be petitioned by the actual plaintiff himself. And so the plaintiff comes over to you and says to you, look, you have testimony for me. I know you have testimony for me, so come to court and testify on my behalf. And the witnesses say, no, we don't have any testimony for you. We don't know anything. We swear we don't know anything. Or let's say they're placed under oath, and while being placed under oath, they have a denial. So under those circumstances, they're going to be chayav karbon olah v'yarid. As we already discussed earlier in this perek, the denial has to be in beis din. The kfir has to be in beis din. The shvua itself does not have to be in beis din. The mushba, being placed under oath, does not have to be in beis din, but the actual kfir itself has to be in beis din. And once they make a kfir in beis din, they deny in beis din that they have that they know testimony. If they do so b'shogeg, or even if they do so b'mezid, they are going to be chayav v'karban ola v'yareid. So as we already discussed a number of times, I should read the pasuk inside. So as long as we're starting the daf today, so I'm looking now in Parakeh of Vayikra v'nefesh ki sechata, if a person were to sin. And hold on to that word sechata. That's coming up later this morning. Vishamakol Allah, and here's the shvua, meaning this is how we know that he's being placed under oath. Vishamakol Allah, vahu aid, and he was a witness. O ra'a o yada. Either he saw or he knew. Hold on to that pasuk, because that also is coming up later this morning. Meaning it's either one of the two. Either he saw or he knew. Im lo yagid, now if he doesn't testify, v'nasa v'no, so he has to bear sin. And then the Torah goes on to discuss other averos. And what do all these averos have in common? So, in any one of these averos that are mentioned, the hayakiyash am la'achas me'ela, I'm skipping now to pasuk hay. What I just read was pasuk aleph of perek hay. Now I move on to pasuk hay. Vayakiyash am la'achas me'ela, if we were to sin from any of these. And again, I just want to, you know, I'm just kind of like highlighting different words in the psukim that are coming up later in this morning's daf. So if he were to be guilty with any one of these me'ela, stay tuned, that's an important word coming up later, v'izvada asher chata alaha, and he's going to admit that which he did wrong, v'evisa shemon la'ashem al-chataso, and he brings an asham, asher chata nekevam netzon kitzvah usira, sorry, I said asham, I didn't mean it as like in the karban, and that's important, and you'll see why. Ve'hevias Hashemol LaHashem, he brings his guilt to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not a carbon Hashem. Chatasor Asher Chata Nekevam Netzam Kisvaus Tiras Yizim LeChatas VeAsher VeChiper Olav Akoim MeChatasol. He's going to bring a carbon Chatas, although this is going to be a slightly unusual carbon Chatas. What makes it unusual is that you have an option based on your financial status. You have an option of which carbon you're going to bring. And Vimlosa Yado De Seve Ve'hevias Hashemol Asher Chatas Teisurim Mishne Bnei Yonah LaHashem. Now, if you don't have enough money for an animal, so then the Torah allows you to simply bring a pair of birds. A pair of birds obviously being cheaper. And then I'm skipping a little bit more in the Pesukim. I'm going now to Pesuk Yud Aleph. So it's the Chatas. Now, if you can't even afford a pair of birds, so then you're going to bring just a flower offering, mincha. And lo yisim ala Hashem v'lo yiten ala levona. No oil, no spices. Ki chata, see, because it's a minchas chatas, and therefore it doesn't have any of the normal accessories that come together with a mincha. Not oil, not levona. And then v'chiper alav a kohen achatasur shechata me'achas me'ela. Again, we have that expression me'achas me'ela. V'nisach lav ha'isal a kohen k'mincha. Okay. Adkan. Those are the. I'll keep it open. Those are the psukim as it relates to the Shavuos Ha'edus and the associated carbon olaviyari that you bring. It's a carbon chatas, and it's called an olaviyari simply because it's up and down, meaning it's going to fluctuate based on your economic situation. Adkan, that takes us through the psukim. That again is just another brief introduction to the entire. To the entire discussion, where we start now with the Mishnah, when the Mishnah Lama Gimel Amid Beis, Mashbia Ani Aleichem. So, Im Lo Savo V'Seidi Shani Kohen, Shani Levi, She'ini Ben Grusha, She'ini Ben Chalutza. So let's go a little bit slower. So I'm now asking a witness to testify on my behalf. In other words, I'd like people to know that I'm a Kohen. I'd like people to know that I'm a Levi. then I'm not a ben grusha, then I'm not a ben chalutza, meaning he's a kohen. And now it's not clear in the Mishnah whether or not there were allegations, there were rumors to the opposite, or he just came into a new community and nobody knew, but whatever the case was, he's asking now to somebody to testify on his behalf towards his pedigree. Either that he's a kohen or that he's Levi, or that he's not a ben grusha or not a ben chalutza, sheish ploni kohen, sheish ploni Levi, or let's say he's asking not about himself, but he's asking about somebody else. Now the Gemara is going to pick up on this, by the way, because that's interesting. Meaning, in other words, he's not the primary litigant. Somebody else, obviously, is the primary litigant, and he's asking on behalf of somebody else. And the Gemara is going to pick up on that, and stay tuned. So, sheish ploni kohen, sheish ploni Levi, sheina ben grusha, sheina ben chalutza. Okay, so again, so all those cases are basically a question of pedigree. Anas ish ploni es bito, pita es bito, a person violated somebody's daughter, a person seduced somebody's daughter, shechava bi bini, or that my son hit me, v'shechava bi chaverai, or a friend did chavala to me, so she hidlik gedishe b'shabbos, or somebody lit my haystack on fire on Shabbos. In all these cases, you would be pater. Okay, now, in the first, the exemption over here in the Mishnah is for a host of different reasons. So let's go back over the Mishnah again. Let's go over the cases in the Mishnah and discuss why there's no liability, even though the witness, when asked, do you have information, do you have testimony? In all the cases, the witness said, no, I don't. Swears it doesn't have information, and in all the cases mentioned, our Mishnah is going to be pater. Why are you pater? So, that's right. So, well, let's start off with the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah are easy. First case of the Mishnah are, because it has nothing to do with monetary cases. Meaning, it is a klal gadol throughout this entire parak, and today's daf is the daf dedicated to this topic. The only time you chayv a karban shvuah, olav yared, is only when it's on a monetary case. If it's a non-monetary case, so then you're not chayv a karban olav yared. As I mentioned yesterday, I'll repeat again today, it's still aser, meaning if you're asked to give testimony that you have, and you refuse to give it, you shouldn't refuse to give it, there's still a mitzvah to testify, but in terms of the liability for a karban olav yared, it's only for kfiras mamon, and that's number one. Now it's true, by the way, that as a kohen, you're going to be receiving certain allocations. And as a Levi, you're going to be receiving certain allocations. So by gaining your status as being a kohen or being a Levi, it's true that it will award you certain money, but this case is not primarily on mammon. The case is on your status. As a totsah, as a result of you being a kohen or a Levi, you will get money, but you need a case that revolves around money. Okay, so that explains all the first cases. What about what about the next cases? So the next cases in the Mishnah are going to be pater, but for a different reason. So let's go to the case where the father claims that the son hit him. So in those cases, you're going to be pater. Why? So Rashi explains over here, because when the son hits the father and extracts blood in that hit, so that is a capital crime. Since that's a capital crime, so that falls into the category of kim le b'drabim mine. So once now the claim of the father is, hey, you saw my son hit me, and he produced a wound, and therefore what? Therefore, this is a capital crime. This is not fundamentally a monetary case. Kim le b'drabim mine says that we're only going to punish him with the harsher of the two. Obviously, mises b'dei adam, the capital punishment is the harsher punishment. Now, next cases of the Mishnah. Chaval b'chaver v'hilik es gedisha b'shabbos. He hit me. Now, hitting is a monetary case, because now we're talking about a tort. We're talking about now the niske chavala. But what you have to do with this case is you have to link it together with the next case. He hit me, or he lit my haystack on Shabbos. Oh, meaning not both, but in other words, both of those activities occurred on Shabbos. Either he hit me on Shabbos, or he lit my haystack on Shabbos. Once again, why is that not going to be chayv a karban olav yared? Because once again, these are cases of kimle b'derabim nei. Causing a wound on Shabbos is a malacha on Shabbos. That's chavala. And lighting a fire on Shabbos is a malacha on Shabbos. So both of those represent Shabbos violations, coupled with a monetary obligation. But again, the principle of kimle b'derabim nei tells me that he would be potter on the mammon, and that's why in such a case, it would not be chayv a carbon olav yored. Okay, Rashi, by the way, on what I just explained, everything I just explained was Rashi. Rashi doesn't offer another pshat on the last cases of the Mishnah. See Rashi for more on the Mishnah. But in the meantime, however, we're going to go to the Gemara. Taima di ishplani kohen ishplani Levi. What again? Anas ish plani bito is right. In other words, nechanami. So that would be monetary. And so why are you putter over there? Yeah, correct. Because he's right. Because in other words, in order to be chayv a carbon, so you have to be petitioned directly by the baldover. And so somebody's asking on behalf of somebody else. You're not the. He wasn't the baldover.
He didn't say his.
Right. In fact, the gemara itself is now going to start off on exactly this point. Time of ish plani kohen, ish plani Levi. Now let's look at some of the first cases of the Mishnah. Not the first case of the Mishnah, but one of the cases of the Mishnah was where I say, hey, could you come to court and testify about me? That was the very first case in the Mishnah, that either I'm a Kohen or a Levi. But the next case in the Mishnah is, hey, could you testify about him, that he's a Kohen and a Levi? So in other words, in the Mishnah says, under those circumstances, you're Pater. Now, Hamana leploni biyad ploni chayoven. Now, if we take that case and we just make a very simple diuk, let's swap out. Let's take out that the case is revolving around status of Kohuna, and let's insert now, that's a simple monetary case. In other words, instead of saying, hey, could you testify about him that he's a Kohen? Hey, could you testify about him that he's owed money? So in other words, so now you're not the baldover. And it sounds like from the Mishnah, the deek in the Mishnah is that under those circumstances, you're going to be chayev. And the Gemara now is going to ask the obvious question. Well, how can there be a chiv over there if the witnesses were not approached directly by the baldover? The Gemara asks exactly that question. So I'm starting again from the beginning of the Gemara. Time of the Ishpani Kohen, the Ishpani Levi, Hamana Laploni, Biatploni, Chayavim, Hakitani Seifa, Ashi Ishmumi, Piatoveya. We learned together, we will learn again together, that the only time you're Chayavim Kapan Olav Yared is only when you're hearing it from the Baldavar, the Toveya. The plaintiff himself has to approach you. Amar Shmuel Bababar Shah. So Shmuel says, well, you know what's happening over here? Is that you were given power of attorney, meaning so that the case did involve somebody else, and that somebody else wrote for you power of attorney. And now that you have power of attorney, so now you can represent him. Very good. So power of attorney seems to be even one step above shlichus. Meaning shluchus aldam kamosa, meaning that he's doing it, but he's really doing it on my behalf. When I write somebody a harshom, a power of attorney, so I'm really making him, I'm transferring him into the baldover. Meaning basically now, he has a certain degree of bailus over the case, and so now he can come not as a representative of me per se, but more as now he's acting on his own. Rashi, when he writes with Bavarasha, Sheminu Apotropos Al Kach. Now Rashi doesn't say this, you know, the same exact way I'm saying it. Rashi says now he's an apotropos, right? He's a trustee of the money. Hilkach Itvias Mamani have a mechayve, and therefore him being Tovea now as an apotropos, now as a trustee of the money of this particular account. So therefore, he is considered a Tovea. A proper Tovea. The Gemara now points out, so the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I can write power of attorney if the case is involving property, but I can't write power of attorney if it's over movables. At least in Narada, they say we don't do it. Now, why don't they do that? First of all, Orkas, says Rashi, it's the same thing as Arsha, it's just the Aramaic word of a Arsha. And why don't we write on Matatlan? So I'm reading the Rashi. Lefi she'enu be'en, in other words, if it's a case of money, so where's the money right now? It's not there. Meaning money really right now, if somebody owes me money, it's an obligation, it's a chov. But can I actually point to the money? No, of course not. In fact, when I lend money, the expectation is the money is meant to be spent. Milva lahotza nitna. So when I give somebody money and say, here, what's it called? I'm lending you the money. So the expectation is that the money's not there. You can only write a harsha, power of attorney, on something that's be'en, that's there. Because basically, in the harsha, I'm basically saying, I am now making you a trustee of this. Meaning, and you're pointing to an item. Now, in other words, when I say pointing to the item, it doesn't mean that we have to see the item. But the item has to be there. So if it's karka, obviously the item is there. But if it's money, it's not there. So you, so in Narada, they say we don't write Harsha HaMetaltalin. So if that's true, so how do you understand our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, well, yes, we don't write Harsha on movables, but that's only when there's no Kfira. Sorry. That's only when there is a Kfira. But if there's no Kfira, we're going to write. Now, why should that make a difference whether or not the defendant is denying or not denying? Once again, I turn to Rashi. Yeah, so Rashi explains, because look, if there was a kfira, so now, I'm writing power of attorney onto an obligation that the defendant himself denies exists. So even though, as far as I'm concerned, it's real, the money owed to me is real, but I'm now writing over power of attorney on something that A, is not tangibly there, and B, is denied by the defendant. The language of Rashi, mechze keshikra. It doesn't look 100% kosher. That even, from my standpoint, it's perfectly legitimate. It's my obligation. It's money's owed to me. But mechze keshikra doesn't look up and up. That I'm just simply writing power of attorney over on an obligation that he himself denies. So therefore, he shouldn't do it. But if he doesn't deny the obligation, and now I want somebody else to collect for me, I'm basically submitting my paper to somebody else. Here, you collect it. I'm giving it to collections, and he doesn't deny it. So that you can write power of attorney over, even on movables. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. All right, and with that stated now, and that little piece of Gemara that's behind us. So now, for the rest of today's daf and going into tomorrow's daf, we are going to be now discussing the following. As we've been learning throughout this entire parak, when it talks about Shavuos HaEdus, it's only on monetary cases. It's in no other cases. Now, I opened up this morning by reading the Pesukim in the Chumash, and there is absolutely no indication in the Pesukim in the Chumash that Shavuos HaEdus is only talking about money. In fact, it's only one Pesuk in Chumash that talks about Shavuos HaEdus. It's the beginning of Parak Hey. It's the first Pesuk in Parak Hey, and there simply is no indication that it's talking about money. I read the pasuk one more time. V'nefesh ki secheta v'shama kol Allah v'hu eid ora al yada im lo yagid v'nasa v'no. Torah only describes that you are asked to give testimony, you refuse to give testimony, you swear, you're placed under oath that you don't know about the testimony. Sorry, you're placed under oath in order to provide the testimony. You deny it. That's all the Torah says. And meanwhile, it's been the yesod throughout the entire perek that's only on Kfir Samaman. And so from this point going forward, for the rest of today's daf, question is really simple. How do we know? How do we know that it's only talking about Kfir Samaman? Where is it? Where are there clues in the Torah that this is so? Meaning, obviously, when we have Torah, we have Torah Shabbat, we have Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh clearly is teaching us that it's only about Kfir Samaman. But is there any indication in the Pesukim themselves that's talking about Mammon? And that is what we will be spending the rest of today trying to uncover. Tanu Rabbana Minayin She'ena Kazeh Medaber Ela B'Tvi'as Mammon. So the Brice over here starts off with a really simple question. How do I know that it's only talking about Tvi'as Mammon? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, there are four opinions in the Brice. Number one, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nemar Kan O'in, V'Nemar Lahalan O'in. Ma Lahalan Ina Medaber Ela B'Tvi'as Mammon, Afkan Ina Medaber Ela B'Tvi'as Mammon. Took me a while to decipher the Gemara with the O'ins. Didn't
too
right?
Old.
Ah, okay, good. So the explanation is the double O, meaning in the pasuk that I read it said O Ra'a O Yada, so that is the double O as it relates to Shavuos HaBikada. Also, sorry, in relation to Shavuos HaEdus. Now, if you look a little bit later in the parak and you turn to Shavuos HaBikada, which is in the same parak, it's at the end of parak A. Shavuos HaBikada, when someone entrusts you to watch an item, and then you swear later on, and you deny having received the item, so under those circumstances, once again, you're going to be liable. Now, the liability over there, if you swear, is that you're going to be chayv a carbon asham. Not the olav yoreh, the carbon asham. Similar type of carbon, but it's not the same. So over there also, the Torah describes it using the double lashon of O. So Rashi over here quotes the Pesukim, right? Namar Lahalana Owen. Rashi is the third mid-range line. B'shavuos HaBikadon, O B'tzumas Yad, O B'gezel, O Ashak. So you see over there the multiple usage of the word O. So that is the tip-off, says Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, well, if you look throughout Chumash, we're now going back to the Gemara. If you look throughout Chumash, you think this is the only time where you have multiple O's used in a Pasuk? O in the Ratzeach Yochichu. What about Ratzicha? Rashi quotes the Pasuk. O be'eva yiko. O ishlicha la bitzdiya. So by when it comes to murder, we have the double O. Shehein Owen. O midvarm shalo bitvias mamon. So and of course, murder has nothing to do with monetary case. So in other words, if the multiple usage of the word O in the Pasuk is a tip-off, we got other Pasukim. Danin Owen Sheish Imam Shvua, Me Owen Sheish Imam Shvua, Vayochicha Owen Derotech Shein Imam Shvua. So the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, well, by the case of Ritzicha, obviously there's no Shvua over there. And we're looking for multiple uses of the word O as it relates to Shvua. The Gemara says, Owen Desote Yochichu, Shein Owen Vayesh Imam Shvua, Umidvarm Shalob Tzvias Mamon. So the Gemara says, what about Sota? Sota, once again, Rashi. I'm quoting the Pesukim from Rashi. So the, O avar alav ruachina, O ish asher tavor alav. So you have the multiple usage of the word O when, as it relates to Sota, and that's not fundamentally a monetary case. Now I know a couple days ago, by the way, we did point out that Sota does have monetary ramifications. She could be forfeiting her ksuva. But in other words, the case itself obviously is an adultery case. So there, multiple usage of the word O, and it's not fundamentally a mamon case. So done in Owen Sheish Imam Shvua ve'ini Imam Kohen, me Owen Sheish Imam Shvua ve'ini Imam Kohen, v'ayochicha Owen derotzech she'ini Imam Shvua v'ayochicha Owen desota, she'af abish Sheish Imam Shvua, Sheish Imam Kohen. So once again, the Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that when it comes to Sota, yes, there's a Shvua, but the Shvua with a Kohen. We're looking for a Shvua sans Kohanim. So where do I have a Shvua without a Kohen? So I have it by Pikadon. I have it by Shvua Seidus. So there, in those two cases, I have a Shvua and it doesn't require Kohen. So therefore, we're going to pair those together as opposed to Ritzicha where there's no Shvua and as opposed to Sota where there is a Shvua but it's with a Kohen. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Next. This is now number two. So again, it all starts with the original question of how do I know that only refers to Kfiras Mamon? Tvias Mamon, Kfiras Mamon? So far we've seen Rabbi Eliezer. Now we're up to number two in Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Omer Vayaki Hashem La'achas Me'ela. Okay, when I read the Pesukim in the beginning of this morning, so I highlighted that Pasuk. So it's Me'ela from these. Yesh Me'ela Shu Chayev, V'yesh Me'ela Shu Pater. So sometimes you're going to be Chayev and sometimes you're going to be Pater. The Mem. The Mem tells me that I get to divide. So HaKetza Tavah Mamon Chayev Davar Acher Pater. So if it's on Tvias HaMamon, so then you're going to be Chayev, but if it's on anything else, you're going to be Pater. Later, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is, all the Mem does is it tells me that I get to divide. It doesn't tell me how to divide. So why would I divide by Kfiras Mamon as opposed to everything else? Where and how do I know that Kfiras Mamon is on the side of Chiyuv? Meaning maybe the division is a good division, but the conclusion should be the opposite. Kfiras Mamon should be Pater and everything else should be Chayev. Okay, that's an obvious question. The Gemara will ask that later on. Number three, Rav Yosef Glili, Amar Harei Omer, Vuhu Eido Ra'o Yada. So Rav Yosef Glili says, look, let's look at that one pasuk. Look, we only got one pasuk to work with. Let's look at that one pasuk and let's read it really carefully. It says that this is the kind of testimony where either he saw or he knew. Beidus amiskaimis beria belo yidia v'yidia belo re'iya. Hakasa medaber. So in other words, it has to be the kind of testimony where I could testify just with seeing it or just with knowledge. Ria below Yedia Ketzad. So, give me examples where we can have testimony on monetary cases where it's just seeing but not knowledge. So, Manim and Isilach Bifne Ploni Ploni. So, Yavonu Ploni Ploni V'yayidu. Zui Ria below Yedia. So, an example of seeing something is I see somebody counting out money. In other words, so I don't know identities, I don't know intent, like I don't have any of the context, but I do see somebody counting money out to somebody else and handing him money. And now if the case goes something like this, hey, he owes me money. And the defendant says, I never took any money from him, I don't know what he's talking about. And the witness says, well, here's what we saw. Now again, they don't know anything. They don't know it was a loan, they don't know the nature of it. But they did see money get transferred. So if the denial of the defendant was, I never received money from him, the witnesses with their testimony, even though it's just re'ia, is now going to disprove their case. Let's go the other way. Yidia below re'ia ketzad. So what would be a case of knowledge without seeing something? Money hodesi li b'fnei ploni uploni. So let's say there was a hodah, an admission. The borrower said to two witnesses, you know, I borrowed money from him and I never paid him back. Even though the witnesses never saw the actual loan, but now what they have is knowledge. And that knowledge now can, these two witnesses now can come to court and testify in court. Here's what the guy admitted. Yavol ploni uploni v'yayidu zehu yidia b'lo riya. That's the case of yidia without riya. So, Rav Yosef Aglili says that the third way that we know that the psukim are talking about kfiras mamon is because we're looking for a testimony that could be offered either with seeing without knowledge or knowledge without seeing. And that can only apply to money. Okay. Number four. Rabbi Shimon Amar Chayev Kan V'chay B'Pikadon. Ma'la'alan inna medabe ala b'tfiyas mamon, afkan inna medabe ala b'tfiyas mamon. So look, in Perikei Vayikra, we have two times where a person is going to be Chayev on a Shvuah. One here by Edus, and another later on by Pikadon. And just like over there, it's obviously money, meaning that's the very nature of Pikadon, is that it's a monetary case. Somebody deposits something by me, I then deny that I have it, that's obviously money. Here too, it's also going to be Mammon. V'od. Kavachomer, and on top of that, let's make the following logical argument. Ma Pikadon. Now, in the case of Shvuah Pikadon, when are you going to be Chayav a Karbon? In many cases, so because it's not a testimony halacha, it applies across the board: men, women, relatives, non-relatives, psulim, ksherim. In all those cases, chayav akol achas v'achas bifnei beisdin v'shelo bifnei beisdin. In court, out of court, ainu medaber ela b'tfilas mamon. And over there, as expansive as pikadon is, it only applies to money. Edus. Shelo asaba nashim kanashim krovim kirecholkim psulim b'ksherim veinu chayev ela achas bifnei beizdin. But when it comes to edus, which is so limited, it only applies to men, not to women, to non-relatives, not relatives, to ksherim, not psulim. You're only going to be chayev one in beizdin. So now it's so limiting. So if the more expansive shvuos ha-pikadon applies to money, so the more limiting Shvuos Eidus is only going to apply to money. Ain't no din shelo yei bedaber el b'tfias mamon. So the Gemara says that's a kavachomer. Now the Gemara says now mali b'kadon shekein lo asabo mushba kanishba umezik kishogeg. Tomer be'edus shekein asabo mushba kanishba umezik kishogeg. So the Gemara says, well, you know, every time you make a kavachomer, kavachomers are eligible for a pircha. Meaning that if there is something that tells us that they're not, one is not unilaterally more chomer than the other, so then we have what's called the pircha in a kavachomer. And the pircha in a kavachomer will knock down the entire logical argument. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. When it comes to pikadon, so we don't treat mushba kenishba, being placed under oath, the same as actually making the oath yourself. And we don't treat mezid like shogeg. So in other words, we have certain things that are limiting when it comes to shvuos pikadon, which is more expansive as it relates to Shvuos Eidus. And now that's what's called in Kavachomer a Pircha. So since we don't, since these are features that you have by Eidus that you don't have by Pikadon, so we've now lost the Kavachomer. So now that we lost the Kavachomer, back to the original opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon now is making the argument, well, look what we have by Pikadon, and let's take that and let's translate it back to Shvuah. But if we're using Kavachomer, it's not good. We have a Pircha. Now that we have a pircha, so what do we use? Tamalomer techta techta l'gzera shavar nemer kan secheta v'nemer lahalan secheta malahalan ein a medaber lebetfias mamon afkan ein a medaber lebetfias mamon. So now what do we have? We have a gzera shava. Gzera shava. You don't ask a pircha on a gzera shava. Now of course you can't manufacture gzera shava. Gzera shava ain right only imkain kibol mirabo. You can only say gzera shava if you have it from your rabbi. So yes, it's a little bit strange that the route Rabbi Shimon looks to take was a kavachomer, right? Got roadblocked on the kavachomer and then resorted to the gzereshava. So you don't resort to gzereshava. In other words, either you have the tradition or you don't have the tradition. So admittedly, the way the Gemara presents it is a little bit strange, but a little bit difficult to understand. But still, in other words, Rabbi Shimon leaves the kavachomer and heads towards the gzereshava. Adkan. That takes us now to the end of the Brisa. So that was a really long Brisa. It's an Amud of Brisa, meaning it starts on the previous Amud with the words Tana Rabbanan, and it presents now four opinions amongst the Tanayim, and all four opinions are leading us to the same conclusion. How do I know that a person is only eligible to bring a carbon olav yored for kfira when it's kfiras ha'edus, when it's the case of mammon? How do I know that? So we have in the Braisa, just to quickly recap, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef Glil, and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer says it's based on the multiple O's that are in the Pasuk. Rabbi Kiva says that it's me'ela. Some cases are subject to carbon, some cases are not. Rabbi Yosef Glil says it comes from the who aid o yada testimony, where the testimony will work either if you see something or if you know something. Either or. And finally, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which at first he tries a kavachomer, gets roadblocked on the kavachomer, and then reverts to a gzereshava, linking the shvuos ha'edus with shvuos ha'pikadon. Okay. Those are the four opinions of the Braisa. And now, for the rest of today's daf, what we're going to be doing is dissecting the Braisa, going over each one of the opinions, and basically the Gemara is going to do its classic analysis and deconstruction and reconstruction of each one of the opinions in the Braisa. Maskifla Rabba Barula. We're on Lamed Alamed Aleph. We're about a quarter of the way down. The first one on the line that we're starting is Medaber. Maskifla Rabba Barula. O Bitu Yochichu Shehein Owen V'yesh Imahem Shvua V'ein Imahem Kohen U'medabrim Shelo B'tfias Mamon. So the Gemara starts off with the first opinion, that of Rabbi Eliezer, the multiple O. Now the Gemara pointed out that there were other psukim in the Torah that have multiple O's. We had Ritzicha, we had Sota, but the Gemara says, yeah, but they're different. And therefore they're not in our discussion. We're looking for psukim with multiple O's that have only a Shvua and no participating Kohen. And so the Gemara now is asking, wait one second. We also have another series of psukim that have multiple O's in it, and deals with a shvua, and notably shvuas bitui, meaning, and you don't even have to go that far. you stay right in the same parsha, and when the Torah teaches us about bitui, right? O nefesh ki sishavah levatebes vasam lahara o leitiv lechosher yivate adam shvua v'nelam imenu. So you have the multiple O in that pasuk, and that pasuk is talking about shvua and shvuas bitui. And since the beginning of the Masechta, really since the third parak, but okay. But since the third parak of the Masechta, we've learned that Shavuos Bitui applies even though it's non-monetary cases. So you do have multiple O's in a pasuk dealing with Shavua, and it's going on non-monetary cases. So that kind of does away with the entire argument of Rabbi Eliezer, right? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Mistabra mi bikadon hava leila melef. Shekain techta mitechta. So the Gemara says, well, you know what? You're right. Meaning, right? The Gemara basically says you caught us. There is shvuas bitui has multiple usage of the word O. You're right. But in terms of creating a limud, it's better to go from carbon shvua from shvuas ha'edus to shvuas ha'pikadon. Why? Because first of all, you have the techta, the usage of the word, meaning basically the gzeirah shava that Rabbi Shimon introduced us to. Adarabba mi bitu avalamev shekain chatas mechatas. So the Gemara says, well, if it's a common usage of the same word, we also have chatas in shvuas ha'edus. We also have chatas as it relates to shvuas bitui. So you have that as well. Now, again, by the way, if we're talking about gzeirah shava over here, it's a little bit difficult to understand because it's not just that there's common words, but you have a mesora that this is part of the gzeirah shava. But anyway, so Elam is tabra mibikadon hava lamev shekain. So the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, it's more mistaber to go from shvuos ha'edus to shvuos ha'pikadon because they have more in common. And the Gemara now is going to do its classic, look, I have two ways in which we can go. Let's see where there are more connecting points. And basically now, keep score, because we're going to look at where there's more connecting points. Is Shavuos HaPikadon more connectable to, is Shavuos HaEdus more connectable to Shavuos HaPikadon? Or is Shavuos HaEdus more connectable to Shavuos Bitui? And basically, we're going to see by a score of 4-3, I'm sorry for giving away the score, but by a score of 4-3, it's more connectable to Shavuos HaPikadon than it is to Shavuos Bitui. And let's see the Gemara inside. Havla Meshekein, Chet, Mazid, Tave, Kafre, Va'avre. So the Gemara says, look at the connecting points that connect Shvuos Ha'edus to Shvuos HaBikada. Chet, in both places it says the words Chet, and Mazid, in both places you're Chayav, even if done B'Mazid. Now we've already noted numerous times that by Shvuos Ha'edus, you're going to be Chayav a carbon even if done by Mazid. Same thing is going to be true by Shvuos HaBikada. We haven't seen that yet. It's coming up in the next parak, but same thing is true regarding Shavuos HaBikudin. So we have so far Chet, you have Mezid, Tav A, you need a Tviya, meaning just making a Shavuot by itself is insufficient. There has to be where the plaintiff solicits you directly, verbally, saying, hey, you have testimony for me, come and give it. And Tav A, the Kafre. So, I'm sorry, the Avre. And on top of that, Gemara adds one more point. And that is, it's going on Sha'avar. It's going on the past. Now, this one's interesting. What does it mean it's going on the past? Isn't Shavuos Bitui going on the past as well? Meaning, now I take us back to the beginning part of the Masechta. Right? In other words, Shavuos Bitui, even though the Torah says, Lehara O Lehetiv, and that's clearly going on in the future, but according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, good. I got one of the two. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's also going on in the past as well. Rashi points out over here, that's true. Rashi, look at the Rashi. Rashi's so good. Ava bitui ikra lahaba. You're right. It is also going on in the past. But biikaron, it's going on in the future. So as opposed to Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaBikadon, which are shavuos that are made on historical events, on testimony that I know, on whether or not you did or you did not give me the pikadon. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Shavuos Bitui, principally, fundamentally, it's going on the future. Okay, so those are four connecting points that connect Shavuos Ha'edus to Shavuos HaBikadon. Adarabba, the Gemara says, well, let's try the other way. Let's try to connect Shavuos Ha'edus to Shavuos Bitui. Mibutu Avalamel of Shekain. Chatas, as we already pointed out. The word chatas is used in both cases. Yarda. So, in other words, the carbon that you bring for both of them is a carbon olaviyari. Shavuos HaBikadon, you only bring a carbon asham. But for Shavuos Ha'edus and for Shavuos Bitui, olaviyari. So that's another connecting point. And also chomesh. Now, chomesh over here means not chomesh. Meaning by Shavuos HaBikadon, if you do swear falsely about money or an object that was deposited by you, so not only do you need to bring a carbon asham, but you also have to pay back with 20/25% surcharge. So that's a chomesh by Pikadon. That does not exist by Shavuos Ha'edus, nor does that exist by Shavuos Bitui. So another connecting point that connects Shavuos Ha'edus to Shavuos Bitui. So the Gemara says, Hanach Nefishin. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you've been keeping score at home, which you should have been, so then Shavuos HaPikadon won by a score of 4-3. Okay, so a close game, but the Shavuos HaPikadon won. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Okay, so far, that was a lot of time, I know, but that was all addressing one simple question, which is that if it's a question of what to compare to based on the multiple O's used in the Pasuk, so we actually have two candidates. We could have compared Shavuos Ha'edus to either Shavuos HaBikadon or Shavuos Bitui. And the Gemara basically said, you're right, but there are more connecting points that connected to Shavuos HaBikadon over Shavuos Bitui. Moving on in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Omer Vayaki Hashem Lachas Me'ela. Yesh me'ela shu chayv, yesh me'ela shu pater. Haketza tavo mamon chayv, tavo davar acher, pater. So the Gemara just simply resets up Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says it's me'ela. So sometimes you're chayv and sometimes you're not chayv. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, which I foreshadowed earlier. Epoch ana. Well, why don't we do the following? Why don't we flip it around? Meaning, we know that sometimes you're going to be chayv, sometimes you're going to be pater. And now if it's just left for arbitrary decision, so let's say that for Kfiras Mamon, you're going to be Pater. For Kfira on any other testimony, you're going to be Chayav. And so let's just flip it around. So the Gemara says, Owen de Rebbe Eliezer Samech. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? Rabbi Akiva really agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. It's based on the multiple usage of the word O. So the Gemara says, okay. So then why is the Braisa presenting Rabbi Akiva as if he's giving an alternative viewpoint? It's not an alternative viewpoint. Rabbi Akiva is really just saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. My Beinayu. So Bein Rabbi Eliezer, Uvein Rabbi Akiva. So then what's the difference between the two positions? If they're really fundamentally rooted in the multiple usage of the word O. Ikibinau mashbio e de karka. So the Gemara says, well, what if the case involved a monetary case, but a monetary case of property? Now, I know we touched on this before, and we're touching on it now. We're going to touch on it later as well. So the Rabbi Eliezer chayavim le Rabbi Akiva Peturim. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that this is going to be the subject, the nature of the debate between the two. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, since it's based on Me'ela, so Me'ela tells me that it applies to some and not to others, and maybe it cuts out Karka. Now, the Rabbi Yochanan Damar Hasa Mashbia Eide Karka Afil Rabbi Eliezer Peturim, Hachamai Ika Ben Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, well, again, we haven't seen this yet, but it's coming up in a short couple of days from now, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he feels that even within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, it applies to monetary cases, not to property, for reasons which we're going to articulate later on. But in other words, now we have Rabbi Eliezer leaving property out of the discussion, out of the carbonola viyareid. So now there seemingly is no difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And the question back on the table is, why is the Braisa presenting them as if they're two different opinions when they're not two different opinions? So ikabenayu ede kenas. So the Gemara says, well, there may be a difference between the two of them, and that is by kenas. As we asked the question yesterday's daf, we didn't give an answer, but the Gemara now is suggesting that this may be the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, anything that has to do with monetary cases is included, but that's based on the Gzeirah Shavah. And since it's based on the Gzeirah Shavah, so that takes us now to Pikadon and the it takes us to Pikadon, and Pikadon can apply to both monetary cases and Kenas cases as well. Now that in of itself requires more explanation why that should be.
Is it 20%
could be. It could be. I was going to say, it's the Gemara does not explicate this point, but it applies to Kenas as well. And so therefore, if you subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, it comes to include Kenas as well. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns it out from Me'ela, so he draws a hard line in the sand. So therefore, it only applies to money cases, not Kenas cases. So Gemara suggests that this may be the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Next, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We're up to number 3. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili had a very interesting position, which is O Yada O Ra'a, which means that it's only referring to cases that could either be done through either seeing or knowledge. So, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer Vehu Eid O Ra'a O Yada Beidu Samiskai Misbiri Abelo Yedio Vidio Abelo Ri'ia Akasa Medaber. Fine. So, Amalei Rapapala Abayi. So, the Gemara now presents a discussion amongst the Amorayim. Lema Rav Yose Aglili Leifle de Rabbi Acha. I think that Rav Yose Aglili does not subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Acha. Rabbi Acha, as we're going to see in just a moment, takes the following position. How does Halacha feel about circumstantial evidence? So, generally speaking, the response that I normally give is, we don't like it. In other words, we're not open to circumstantial evidence. Meaning for us, either you saw the crime or you didn't. And even though you have a preponderance of evidence that indicates that the crime happened, and we pretty much know who the culprit is, pretty much knowing is, generally speaking, in halacha, not good enough. But the Gemara now is suggesting, well, what about the viewpoint of Rabbi Acha? Now, what is Rabbi Acha's viewpoint? So let's see inside. Titania, we saw this already a number of times. Right, I'm cheating. I'm looking on the side of the Gemara. We saw this back in Baba Basra. We saw it in Sanhedrin. But in other words, this is not the first time that we've seen this in this round of Shas. You see a camel, the camel's going crazy. Right? Rashi describes it's in heat. It's just going crazy. It's kicking, it's flaying. And you didn't see now the actual hit where this camel hit another animal. But as everything cleared away, so now you see the animals, another camel that was near it died. But you didn't see the actual hit. But look, this camel was going crazy, and it's pretty easy to conclude that the camel that was in heat was the perpetrator, which means now that the owner of that camel is going to have a financial liability to the owner of the camel that's dead. Right? Seems that way. And Rabbi Acha says, not only does it seem that way, I'm saying it. And the Nimsa Gamal Harug B'Tzidah B'Yadusha Zahargo. So the Gemara says, so now you have Yediyah. So here's a scenario where you have Yediyah, but you don't have Re'iyah. Did you see the crime? No. Do you know? Yeah, we pretty much know. Meaning, the circumstantial evidence is such where we know. We know what happened. So the Gemara says, "Di'isle the Rabbi Acha b'dinei nefashos nami mishkachala." Now the Gemara over here makes an interesting leap. If Rabbi Acha is comfortable with circumstantial evidence as it relates to the camel case, Rabbi Acha will also go one step further. The Gemara knows this, meaning you could have just simply said Rabbi Acha, you know, has a stopping point on this. But the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara assumes Rabbi Acha will go one step further. Rabbi Shimon Meshatach, Ditanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Meshatach, Erev Benachamim Lo Reisi Echad Sheratza Acher Chaver LeChorva. Rabbi Shimon Meshatach tells the following story, and this story too we saw back in Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Shimon Meshatach is watching a murder about to occur, but they turn the corner and he's running after them, either to stop them or to see it so that he can testify. In any event, and so now as he turns into the alley, so he just came a little too late. He didn't see the actual murder. But wow, the evidence is daunting. In other words, he sees blood on the knife. He sees the victim writhing on the floor. So there's a lot of evidence, and the evidence is compelling. But he didn't see the actual crime. Amarti lo rasha mihar golazeh, o ani o ata. So Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach says to the murderer, he says, look, right now, there are two suspects in this crime. It's either you or it's me. And I know it's not me. I mean, I know it's not me. Aval ma'a says, she'en dam cha masur b'yadi sha'arei. Amar Torah apishnayim eidim oshosha eidim yumas ha'meis. So he says, but look, I'm not an aid. I didn't see the crime, so I'm not an aid. And on top of that, I'm only one person. But in other words, seems to be that his focal point right now is the fact that he didn't see it. So Elam Malkim Parimucha, and but so Shimon Shetach says, look, right now as far as the court down here, we are limited to the rules of the judicial system as the Torah has given it to us. Based on those rules, I can't try you. So from this point going forward, it's up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when Rabbi Shimon Shetach says something like that, so you know what the result is going to be. Lo zazu mishama shenashchu nachash umeis. Snake comes along, bites the guy, he dies. And the Gemara over there in Sanhedrin asks a simple question. That's Sreifa. Meaning, the guy was a murderer. What should he be chayev? Should he be chayev Herek for being a murderer? So how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him with the biting of the snake? The Gemara over there in Sanhedrin. But anyway, what comes out now? According to Rabbi Acha would be comfortable with circumstantial evidence, such as in the case of the camel, such in this case with Rabbi Shimon Meshetach. So the Gemara says Rabbi Acha would be comfortable with it. And so the Gemara says, it must be that Rabbi Yossi Aglili does not agree, does not side with Rabbi Acha. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Afilu tema isle de Rabbi Acha. So the Gemara says, no, maybe he does agree with Rabbi Acha. Bishlam yediyah b'lo ri'iyah mishkachala. So the Gemara says, look, I can have cases of knowledge without seeing, but el ri'iyah b'lo yediyah mishkachala. But how can we have a case of seeing without knowledge? Me lo baye meida im ovikochav maharag Yisrael harag im adam treifa harag oshalim harag. Look, in the case of the murder, look, circumstantial evidence is great. Meaning the Gemara is arguing this point. Gemara is not saying it, but circumstantial evidence is great. And if you have Yediya without Riya, maybe that would work. But the opposite wouldn't be true. Meaning, because you saw the crime, that's not enough. Because for somebody to be chayav misa bidei adam, to be executed by court, the victim has to be a Jew. The victim can't be a treifa. There are certain things that you need to know in addition to seeing. So it could very well be that Rav Yossi Aglili agrees with Rabbi Acha. We're not saying he does, but it could be. And still, when you're looking at something which works either through Yediyah or through Re'iyah by itself, it only applies to Mammon. It can't exist outside of Mammon. Shema, okay, fine. Period. Rashi points out now that this next line of the Gemara stands on its own. Shma mina kasav Rav Yosef Glili, mashbi ei dekenas pater. So it must be that ei dekenas would be pater according to Rav Yosef Glili. Because again, according to Rav Yosef Glili, we're only looking for cases where yidia by itself would work, or re'ia by itself would work. See, by kenas, it can't exist by itself. Why? Gemara just simply points out. So look, you can have knowledge, but ria b'lo yidia milo bai meida nachris bal, bas yisrael bal, besula bal, beula bal. But in other words, in the case, let's say, of onis. So a man is ma'anis a girl, and he sees it. That's not enough. Meaning, in order for the knas to kick in, you have to know who the victim was. Meaning, you have to know, was it Yisrael? Was it a Nachris? Was it Yisrael? Was it a Besula? Was it a Ba'ula? There are certain things you need to know in order for there to be Kenas. So Re'ia by itself is not going to be enough. There has to be a Re'ia coupled with Yediyah. So if Rav Yosef Glili is premising his whole premise on that the only time you're Chayav Karban is only when there's either or, either Yediyah or Re'ia, so either one of them by themselves is sufficient. So obviously, kenas cannot be part of the discussion, because even for kenas, re'iyah by itself is going to be insufficient. Let's do a little bit more for today. Yosef Rav Amnu kamei de Rav Yehuda v'Yosef Rav Yehuda v'kam yibayilei mana minisech b'fnei ploni uploni. Okay, so with this data now, let's go over the following case. Let's say money was counted from one person to another person. V'edim ram oso mi b'chutz mai. And now, eyewitnesses standing on the outside. And as Rashi points out over here, the defendant didn't know that the witnesses were there. Right? Kind of like a setup, but okay. And the simple circumstance of the case is, witnesses were there, witnessing the event, but the defendant didn't know that they were there. So under these circumstances, what would be the case? So the Gemara says, well, that's not enough information. Let me hear what the claims are. So the Gemara says, well, if the defendants just simply said, look, the defendant's being accused of having owed the money. And there are witnesses. Now remember, the witnesses are on the outside, and the witnesses only saw money being counted and transferred over to the defendant. If the defendant in court said, never happened, so the witnesses are simply arguing and they're saying, no, of course it happened. We saw it happen. Meaning, we don't know why he gave you the money, but we did see him give you the money. To your claim of it never happened, the witnesses obviously are knocking down that claim. And huchza kafran. So the defendant is obviously a liar. And iamar in shikli v'didi shikli ki asu eidem mayhavu. And if the defendant said, no, absolutely correct, he counted the money and he gave it to me. Do you know why? Because it was my money. And what do you have? You have witnesses who just simply saw from the outside that he gave me money? Good. Me and the witnesses are in agreement. He gave me money. It was my money. And so now, in that case, all the witnesses have is just Re'iyah, no Yediyah, and the counterclaim of the defendant is, agreed, he gave me the money, but it's my money, so then what do you have? You don't have a case. So Amalei Hamnuna at Olta. So to which he says to him, wow, you're good. You can gain admittance into the yeshiva. In other words, that was a fair. You passed the test, so entrance granted. Ha'uda amar le l'chavre, mana minisilach b'tzad amudzeh. So amar le lo avarti b'tzad amudzeh. So as long as we're here discussing these cases of, were you ever there? So let's say, for example, the witnesses come and say, let's say the claim was, is that I paid you by this, it's a tviya. Right, let's start again. So the tviya, the claim was, is that I gave you money by this pillar. Amar lei, lo avarti b'tzad amudzeh. And his counterclaim was, I never passed by this pillar. Like, how could you even accuse me of such a thing? I don't even recognize that pillar. Asu treisah hadasu debay dihishtin mayim b'tzad amudzeh. Now, witnesses come now, interesting. The witnesses don't say anything about money being transferred. In other words, they never saw any money get transferred. But they did see that one time, this guy went by this pillar, in fact, used it as a rest stop. So, Amar Reish Lakish Huchza Kafran. So Reish Lakish says, okay, so now, guy's proven to be a liar, right? So, Maskevla Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, no. Haidina Parsahu. And Rav Nachman, in his classic mannerism, Rav Nachman says it's not good logic, and you know it takes a swipe at the Persians as well. In other words, right? That's Persian justice over there. What do you mean? So okay. So one time he was caught using the pillar as a rest stop. Okay. So what? So me kamra me olam beisik ze kamrale. Right. In other words, his counterclaim was I was never there. No, that wasn't his counterclaim. His counterclaim was that I wasn't there at the time of a loan. Like in other words, you're putting me by the pillar for the loan. I wasn't there for that. Did he say that he was never there? He never said that. Now, Ikadamri, let's finish up today with the Ikadamri. Now, in the second version, it's nearly identical, but with one important difference. Here, the defendant said, I was never there. So now he's making the claim that he was never there. No longer come the witnesses and said, what do you mean? Historically, we did find you there. You used it as a rest stop. So now, in the second version, Rav Nachman says, not Reish Lakish, Rav Nachman says, got you. In other words, you claimed you were never there, and now witnesses say that you were there. Oh, so now you owe the money. Even though, again, the witnesses are not testifying about the money, they just simply caught him in a lie. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman kol misa delarami ala dinish avilei v'lava daite. And so now, Rav says to Rav Nachman, a really important yesod, and that is as follows. We are not expected to remember every detail of our lives and things that are not significant. Meaning, forgive me, by the way, I'm just working with the Gemara scenario. I don't remember every rest stop that I had in my lifetime. And I'm not expected to remember every rest stop that I used in my lifetime. And so things like this, things that are not significant, not important, normal day-to-day events are things that we're not expected to remember. And even if I go so far as to say, what do you mean? I've never been there before. If it's a non-significant event, I'm not expected to remember it. And I'm not held accountable, even if I claim that I wasn't there, I'm not held accountable if I'm in fact caught being there. So Rav says to Rav Nachman, even under those circumstances, we're not going to say Huchzak Kafran. People are not held accountable for these non-significant events.